I charge you, Timothy, before the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, do something. You observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone. We hope your Friday is going well, and we're so glad you joined us today. We continue Pastor Bill's study from 1 Timothy now with the conclusion to the message, Honor Elders. Now here's Pastor.
And you say, well, Bill, why didn't you tell the church? And I'll tell you why, because I've been in the ministry long enough to know that when I'm with people who are really suffering, the things that other people do to them, and we didn't want, 15 different recipes to get well, you know what I'm saying, and here's a bowl, eat the cabbage, and all of that, and then we had people making the little hats for hair, you know what I'm saying? So we didn't want that. And so, but anyway, that's what I'm talking about, about the spreading that stuff around and so forth. And those who undermine this scripture, now listen very carefully, those who undermine verse 19 undermine the authority of God. That is, just, listen, and that's certainly not a Christian being led by the Holy Spirit. I really believe that Christians who violate and don't obey verse 19 is somehow or another, their minds or hearts have to be closed off to the word of God, because that is exalting themselves above the word of God. Amen? Man, that's a scary thing to me. And it means that God's word, or a section of God's word, has absolutely no effect. Well, I would encourage all of us, listen, like Paul is saying, he says, everyone in the church should refuse to participate in any form of gossip, are speaking of things that don't know if you're true or not. Amen? Always go to the source, and that's what's important. And here's the thing about being in ministry too. Guys, listen, no servant leader, no matter if it's an elder, deacon, whatever it is, pastor, listen, they know that every day they live with criticism. That's just the way it is. And, criticism, it just naturally comes with responsibility, doesn't it? Yeah, and you know what? We fail. We don't always do everything perfect, believe me. Matter of fact, I don't know if we do anything perfect, all right? But the fact of the matter is, to be connected, and I'm not speaking of this church, but I have seen it, to be connected to a church that is an abusing church, to their leaders, that is one of the most tragic things that I've ever witnessed. And it's sad. Today, when people, they come on new here, all right? They're, we have interns, we have new people that come onto the staff and so forth. Well, I take them aside privately when we go over the leadership rules, if you want to call them that, qualifications of what we do. And it's very sad for me to say, now listen, let me talk to you for a minute. You're going to be wounded by the sheep. And they always look at me and they don't believe me. And no, you don't understand. People are going to criticize you, and they're going to, you're going to be hurt. And just, you're going to have to love people no matter what. And you know what? They're always shocked. You can hire, there's not been one secretary through the years that have not worked here. And they come in, oh, I'm working for the church. We're the happy place, and everything is great, and we're all lovey-dovey. We love everybody. And they, about 2 weeks, and they go, oh, my God. I never had an idea. And I said, I know, just, they're shocked. And so, we have to be careful, and I always tell, the people that come on board, I say, listen very carefully. There are some sheep that really believe that criticism is a spiritual gift. So you're just going to have to bear with them. Amen. So D.L. Moody put it this way. D.L. Moody said, I've noticed this, that when a man is full of the Holy Spirit, he's the very last man to be complaining to other people. Amen? And so what do we do? Well, here's the deal. Those that are in ministry, now listen now, we expect servant leaders, elders, deacons, no matter where you are, you should expect to be criticized. You should be expect to be accused, gossiped about, or whatever it might be. And here's what I always tell people when they come to me, and it's what I train the staff. I say, okay, now listen, if they criticize you, say thank you, thank you. And then you go to yourself, and this is what I do. Whether it's radio people call me or write or whatever it is, when they say things, I always first go to the Lord. I say, Lord, is that true about me? Is what they said. Do I project that? Are y'all with me? Yes. And I say, Lord, I don't want to project that if that's me. And then sometimes I'll go to the board. I say, tell me. I want to know. And that's what we have to do. You know, all criticism is not bad. Come on. You know, constructive criticism is a good thing. But, you know, pastors, now listen to me, pastors know things that other people don't know and can never tell you. Do you understand? And then they have to live in a glass house as well. And here's what God says. If anyone in the church, if you want to make an accusation against an elder, against a leader in the church, God says you better have two or three witnesses. Amen? God's word says this in Psalm 105:15. God says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. 1 Samuel 26:9, speaking about King Saul when David could have killed him. But David said to Abishai, he says, do not destroy him, meaning King Saul, or for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Now, so that's when accusations are made. Now what do you do if the accusations that are made are true? Well, you rebuke that person. That word rebuke means expose. Look at verse 20. Those who are sinning, meaning the elders and so forth, pastors, whatnot, those who are sinning are literally or who are continuing to just keep sinning, okay, rebuke or expose in the presence of how many? Okay, why? That the rest may also fear. Now listen, does Paul list the sin? No, he doesn't. So we have to let the Bible interpret the Bible here. And so we would have to go back to the qualifications in chapter 3, verses 2 through 7, okay? And you could read through those qualifications. If those things are not occurring in that person's life, well, that can cause him to be rebuked and so forth. So rebuke, it says, and expose or whatever in the presence of all. Now listen very carefully. The question that we need to really understand is the word all. Is he speaking of everybody in the church, or is he speaking to all of the elders and or the pastors? Very important question, loved one. Listen, let me ask you another question. Let's say that the pastor is guilty. The witnesses it's right. It's true. Do we stone that pastor? No, you don't stone people anymore. I'm glad y'all still know that. No, we don't do that. You know, should he be given the opportunity to repent? Okay, that's legal. Amen. Not only should he be given the opportunity to repent, but if he repents, should he be forgiven? Yes. And whenever a person is forgiven, is it ever brought up again? Well, it is, though, isn't it? But it shouldn't be ever brought up again. You don't want your sin ever brought up again. Amen? And not only that, is he automatically restored to the pastorate? Sometimes, and sometimes not. Amen? It depends. So this right here, this verse that we read, those who are sinning are continuing to sin. Rebuke in the presence of all that the rest may also fear. This is an indication that church discipline, it failed, okay? In other words, private rebuke, that they went to them, private rebuke, they went to Timothy, and here are the witnesses. Timothy, yes, we testify. This is what this pastor, he is ripping us off. He's stealing the funds, whatever it might be, okay? It's an indication then that the intervention was ineffective. Let me give you the scripture for that. You know it well, Matthew 18:15. And every Christian should practice what I'm about to say. This is Jesus speaking, the word of God. He says, if your brother, any believer, okay, sins against you. Now that word sins against you doesn't mean if he or she irritates you. Y'all get that? Okay. It says here, it says, go tell everyone in the church about the... No. Okay, but see, we don't want to do that. It says, go tell him his fault. Go talk to the person, your brother, your sister, between you and him alone. You know what? Don't be guilty of this. I've been offended. Someone sinned against me, and then you're in a group of friends and Christians, and you say, can you all be praying with me about this? Isn't that horrible? That's against God's word, isn't it? He says, no. He says, go to the person alone. He says, if the person hears you, Jesus said, hey, you've gained your brother. Praise the Lord. But if he will not hear, if he doesn't repent, take with him one or two or more by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. And if he refuses to hear it, now tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, here comes a command, let him be like a heathen and a tax collector. Those who are sinning expose rebuke in the presence of all. And look at the purpose of this public rebuke, that the rest may also fear. I believe that's really referring to all of the other pastors, okay? That they may fear. That if you're gonna be in the pastorate, then you know what? This is what you have to do. And fear, what are there to fear? Well, the cost of sin. You know, no church board should ever cover, if they know the pastor is in sin, they should never let him continue. Does that make sense? Now, that's not a mean thing. That's a godly thing. You know, no church board should protect the pastor. Look at the Catholic Church, what the sexual abuse over the centuries. Look at that. And look at the SBC, what's just happened. You know what I mean with the sex, hiding that about their pastors. That's wrong. That should never, never happen. Yet, question, are pastors, elders, deacons, servant leaders, are they still Christians? Yes. And when a pastor fails, does it hurt? Does it hurt the sheep? Does it hurt the pastor? Does it hurt the pastor to fail Jesus? Oh, dear God. Unbearable pain. May I tell you that the majority of pastors feel like failures about 90% of the time. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that for sympathy. Please, God forbid. I'm just being honest. You know, we never do enough, or it's always something that it's the decision fatigue, so many decisions over and over, and the older you get, it seems like it's harder. And so, you know, you think about the failures and so forth. I mean, did the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, did he sin, King David? Yes. He sinned when he was old. You got to be careful no matter what age you are in the ministry. Do you understand? Yeah. Or how about Peter? You know, Peter denied the Lord three times. Did Jesus restore him? Yes. Was David restored? But did the sin cost David? Yes. Absolutely, it did. You know, historian James Anthony Ford said this, the worth of a man must be measured by his life, not by his failure. That's a very good word. I was sitting in a church probably over 30 years ago. I knew the pastor very well. He was a very good man, a young man. Matter of fact, we were both young, and he was preaching. I was sitting three or four rows back, and he was preaching on King David. About his sin, when Nathan the prophet, when he came and said, you know, would not have God, he told him the story, remember? And he said, would not have God given you everything, David? And David said, I am the man. And all of a sudden, after that lengthy sermon, the pastor, he looked at us and he started weeping. And he said, I too am the man. He fell onto his knees. Oh, it was heartbreaking. I ran. I knew him very well. And then others ran with me. And we laid our hands upon that man and prayed over him and loved him. And we picked him up. Amen? That's what has to happen. Oh, I tell you, we're the church, and the devil is crazy. Now listen, it says here that if he's failed, what are we to do? Well, God's word just said, if they're continuing, expose it. That's no doubt why the Holy Spirit of God added this next incredible scripture, verse 21. He says, I charge you before God, Timothy. I charge you, Timothy, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I charge you, Timothy, before the elect angels, in contrast to the fallen angels, okay? The angel around the throne of God. The angels that you do something. You observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. The power behind this verse, loved one, I'm telling you what, it cannot be overstated. The imagery here is that of a divine court in heaven. And Paul says, Timothy, I am placing you under oath. I'm commanding you, Timothy. And not only that, all of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and all the elect angels of God who worship there, who minister to those concerning their salvation. He said, they're watching you. And then he commands him. He uses the word observe. That means you do this, you guard this, you keep this, this, you maintain these things. And then he tells him how to do it. Paul is going to use two words that are only found here in the entire New Testament. The first one, he says, do so, observe, without prejudice. Meaning we get, really you can put it this way, without prejudging anyone. Here comes the person. He's been accused. Okay, here come the witnesses. Do everything, Timothy. Here are the facts. Don't jump to any conclusions. Are you following me? Okay, very, very important. This is church discipline, loved one. He says, you administer justice without prejudging the case. You hear the evidence. The next word, do nothing with partiality. Again, only here in the New Testament. He says this, do nothing out of favoritism or preferential treatment, no matter who it is. What a word. Timothy, no one, not one person is going to get any special treatment, not one pastor, because God is not partial. God has no favorites. Amen. We're all God's favorites. Now listen, and I've heard church people say, but you don't understand about that pastor. I love him and he taught me the word and he baptized me. He married me, dedicated my children. He buried my daddy, my mother. He was at the hospital, all those things. And I love him. But God says, no, Wayne. God says, I charge you. You obey what the word of God says. That's never an easy task when it comes to these things. You see how hard that is? Oh, loved one, he says, listen, and here comes the next part. Now that you've rebuked them, okay, but now you have to select new people. So he says, do not lay hands on anyone. How? Okay, don't be quick. You be sure what you're doing. So this is selecting new leaders here. So the laying on of hands, we've learned in 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, speak of ordination. In this case, when it says don't lay hands on anyone suddenly, hastily, he's talking about probably many things, like let's say the pastor who was rebuked, who sinned, who's repented, he's back in line, and now the rest of the pastors and the elders, they say, you know what? It's over. Let's lay hands. Let's restore this person to the ministry. The other one is no doubt for appointing new pastors to replace those that are not going to return. Does that make sense? So that's what he's doing. And he says here, watch. Now be sure, you know, why? Don't share, that word is koinonia, it means to participate in. Don't share in other people's sins, meaning the sins of the fallen leaders. Stay away from that, Timothy, and do so with, keep yourself pure. Now, no one, no church should ever ordain any person in haste, amen? There's nothing worse than a premature ordination, and that happened to me years and years ago, and I have regretted it ever since. And I'd established another Calvary chapel, and this person who was an elder in the Calvaries loved the Lord. I knew his wife, his children, and so I planted another Calvary. And he left the Calvary he was at, and he says, Bill, listen, please. And so I stayed there. We were about 100 people, and I just, okay, I prayed, and I turned the church over to him, and in 2 weeks, he had destroyed it. in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. It was one of the most heartbreaking things. And I was warned by another pastor. I did not heed that man's warning because I just couldn't see it. But I see, I was young and I did not wait long enough. Are you listening to me? And it was my fault. And I shared in the, I was responsible for the hurt that came to that church. Does that make sense? Boy, that's a horrible thing, loved one. So he says, don't do that. He says, and tells Timothy here, he says, no longer now, Timothy, drink only water. Or in the Greek, it's literally stop drinking water or stop drinking only water. And he says, Timothy, listen, but use, look at the quantity now, use how much wine? Okay, use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent sicknesses or infirmities. You know what I like about Paul? I mean, you go through this letter, when you study it out, and you're going, okay, this is, I got to go teach all this. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, Paul, like, he gets happy. You know what I mean? And he gets intimate. He's starting to care about Timothy, you know, and say, oh, Timothy, you're not a healthy person. And I'm going, this doesn't fit. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Okay, and I'm going, you know, and I look at that, and so it's a word to the pastor. And I'm going, oh, Paul, man, this, you're lightening up a little bit now, aren't you? You know, and so, I mean, his frequent, you know, he was a sick person, and I'll tell you why. He had stomach troubles because he was a pastor. Yeah, he probably had ulcers, you know? Now, some men's sins are clearly evident. In other words, open for everybody to see. Remember in, what is it, Galatians 5, the 19 and so forth, the works of the flesh are evident. Amen? You can see the works of the flesh in people, the sins they commit. So he says, hey, some men's sins, now he's talking about picking people, okay, selecting new leaders. He says, some men's sins, well, they're clearly evident, preceding them to the judgment. In other words, they reach the place of the judgment. They go ahead of him. But those of some, they men, well, they follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those who otherwise, the good works, they cannot be hidden. Now, this is a difficult verse to understand, but you have to connect it with verse 22 about not being hasty to ordain new leaders. Does that make sense? Okay. And the reason he's doing this, he's going, listen, you'll know them. Take your time. Don't be hasty. You'll know them by their fruits. You'll finally see their lifestyle. In other words, their true colors will finally emerge. And that's why you always take time. Amen? There's no rush to do those things and so forth. I'd like to do something this morning. I want to close with a paragraph, a word, written by Warren Wiersbe, great expositor of the Bible, who's home with the Lord. Here's what he said. It is sad when churches disobey the word and listen to rumors and listen to lies and listen to gossip. Many a godly pastor has been defeated in his life and his ministry in this way, and some have even resigned from the ministry. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, that may be a good slogan for a volunteer fire department, but it doesn't apply to local churches. Where there's smoke, there's fire could possibly mean that somebody's tongue has been set on fire by hell. Ooh, thank you, Warren. Lord, we just praise you for this word. And Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for all the pastors, all the elders, all the deacons. I'm thankful for the church board. I'm thankful for the servant leaders, Lord. I'm thankful for the greeters. I'm thankful for all those that are in the pew. I love them. And Lord, this is a faithful church. And Lord, I don't want them to leave here thinking that we just are accused all the time. For Father, you know the wonderful emails, the wonderful cards, the wonderful greetings, the wonderful phone calls, and how people, somebody just stop by to say, thank you. This is a loving church, Lord. And I'm so proud to be their pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.
We'll be back on Monday with more teaching from Pastor Bill's study in 1 Timothy, so please join us if you can. Thanks, everyone, for listening with us today. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.